one of us have a story. You see, stories didn't just begin with us. Stories of life began in heaven with God, our Creator. God tells us the story of creation. God tells us the story of how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, saw us before time began. And he said, boy, do I have a story for you. I'm going to let you know, Larry, that I loved you. And I went to the cross for you. I died for you. I bled for you. I took your beating because I love you. I was buried for you. So that you would get the story straight, Larry. Because on the third day, as I said I would, I broke from that tomb so that you would never have to fear yourself ever being there. And then he says, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then the question, do you believe this? Yes, Lord, I believe that. And as I study God's word, and the longer that God allows me to be in this body, the more I understand how in control God truly is over everything that's going on. One of the parts, though, of my life and yours as well, I have a hard time trying to reason within this human mind. And that is, how could a sovereign God allow me and you to have freedom of choice? For sovereignty means ultimate. It means there's no one in charge more than God is. He is sovereign. What he says is and will always be. Okay. It was him who said, if you live and believe in me, my son, you'll never die. But I keep seeing a little more and more of the story. And all of us love stories. Well, my 102-year-old mother has started really telling a lot of stories within the past years that I don't think I really wanted to know or to hear about. And there comes a point in our life when we say, Mom, please don't tell me anymore. But there will never be a time in my life or your life when we will say to our Father in heaven, God, I don't want to hear anymore. For the story that God has for our life through his Son is so powerful, so positive, that nothing on earth or below in the heavens or that exists can ever cover up. I know Jesus, and Jesus knows me. I know a God that loves me, and I know people that hate me. You and I live in one of the greatest nations, or the greatest nation that's ever been known. This nation called America was made great by a God who said, you lift my name first and above all others, and I will be your God. You will be my people. I will bless you beyond measure. Have we not seen it in the United States of America? Where the poorest individual in this nation is wealthier than two-thirds of the rest of the world? Do we go hungry? Not because God has not provided it, There are those who are hungry today in America. I'll tell you that. Whether you know this or not, but our church feeds a lot of folks. But they're not hungry because there's lack of food. They're hungry because of the lack of parenting, for the lack of love, for the lack of caring. God says, I love you so much, I'm giving my son for you. Yes, Lord, and we love you so much that we'll support your church ever so often. We'll even come ever so often. And Lord, I promise you, when disaster strikes, I'll be there. And God says, why do you wait? There's a story. God began the story. You'll see it in the book called the Holy Bible, the book of Genesis. The father of the Hebrew nation, Abraham, had a son, Jacob. Jacob's son had a son, Isaac, who had a son, Jacob. And Jacob, oh, he was something else. Jacob was one who was considered an individual who would cheat. Oh, you got to read the story. I'm not going to get into that. But he was chosen of God. He was chosen by God. And God allowed all sorts of evil to come upon Jacob's son Joseph. Now, Jacob had 10 sons by Leah, his first wife, which he was tricked into marrying. And he worked another 7 years for Rachel, the one that he truly loved. And Rachel bore 2 more children, Joseph and Benjamin. Now, because Joseph was, as far as Jacob concerned, the pick of the litter, he's the firstborn of the woman that he truly loved. He was treated as a special son. That's the one you hear about who got the coat of many colors. Also the one you hear about whose brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt. And only by the grace of God was he barely saved from his brothers killing him. He goes into Egypt, as the story goes, and once again suffers for standing for what is right. And he's placed in prison over a false charge. But at some point, in God's timing, God delivered him. And it just so happened that the king of Egypt at that time had had a dream. But God had blessed Joseph with being able to interpret dreams. Joseph comes, he tells him, look, you're going to have 7 years of plenty in Egypt. Oh, you're going to have so much you won't be able to handle it. But at the end of that 7 years, you are going to be in such dire distress, the whole world will witness a famine. And the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, says, what shall we do? And Joseph says, I got an idea. It was a gift from God. You see, that was a part of Joseph's story. Not just for his life then, but for our life today. He was chosen by God to take God's message. And it didn't matter how many false charges, how many armies, didn't matter who tried to harm him, God would only let him go so far. And Joseph became so powerful that he was only second to the king himself. Joseph ends up bringing his family in. And as his brothers are apologizing, and he says this to them, you don't need to apologize to me. I love you. That's where he found out he had a younger full brother named Benjamin. He said, "What you meant for my harm, God turned for his glory." It doesn't matter the reasoning in the enemy's heart as to why they attempt to destroy that which is good, especially the Christians of this era. What truly matters is this. Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." God speaking to the heart of Joseph. "Joseph, bring your family." Here's something you may not have known about that story, or pay close attention to. During the whole period of time after Joseph brought his family, his brothers and his dad, to Egypt, did you realize that they all at that point lived like kings until their death? They were given the greatest of land, the land of Goshen. They were given the most prosperous in all because the kings realized there was something different about this man known as Joseph. He really is serving a real God. Not all of these statues we have. There is a real God. And they prospered. Here's what happened in that story. After Joseph and all his brothers died, you get the rest of the story. Listen to it. Exodus 1 verse 8. "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." The stories didn't come to the king. The kings before him didn't repeat the true story. "And there arose a king who knew not Joseph." And the story takes place then. When there arose a king who knew not Joseph, he placed the Hebrew nation in bondage, slavery. Actually, for 435 years. They were living in slavery. All that they had was taken away. Because there arose a king who knew not Joseph. Let me ask you something. On the 15th anniversary of 9/11, has America become the great nation who arose which knew not God? Have we become the whore of all the nations? The great Babylon, that we look and we see the evil is coming. Is it going to be us? If we continue to forget about our Creator, if we don't tell the stories, the truth of creation and of our Creator? Oh no, we're America. We're a Christian nation. Then why isn't the name Jesus allowed anywhere and everywhere? Why is it that the Christian nation has backed off from standing firm? Because there has arisen a nation who knows not God. And God says, "I've sent the warning to you. I've sent my servants to tell you about things that are to come. Yet you have hardened your heart and will not listen." As the Hebrew nation, God's own nation, as that Hebrew nation who glorified God as they witnessed all the battles that were won by God Himself, they flare up against God and they said, "Lord, give us a king like the rest of the nations." What were they saying? "We don't trust you anymore, God. Give us a human king." America was founded on the blood, the sacrifice of so many who served the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. But they didn't keep the story going. it becomes a frightful, frightful event in our nation because we did not keep the flame of Christ alive within our churches. If those called by God continue to back off of standing for the truth of God in His Word and for who He truly is and for His love and for His peace and for His sacrifice, if your children are not told that story, how do you think your grandchildren are ever going to learn? One generation away from paganism, and we are almost up to our neck in it right now. The hope of a great nation. Why do nations fall? Why do nations completely break down? Because they forget God. Oh, we can do it ourselves now. We're so big. We're so powerful. I'm so good. You're so bad. We can do it on our own. Really? Do you really believe that you can breathe on your own? What about when a doctor says, you know, you're not going to live through this, and you laugh, and as you come back, you're laughing again because you're living. No, God does that. He sends us doctors of wisdom. Great. Foolishness is when we refuse to allow them to help us. What's going on now? Soon, we will see the time when euthanasia will be practiced throughout the United States of America if we do not get our faith together with God. And that says if you're 70 and older, you'll receive no more medication because you just can't contribute any longer to society. Who makes that decision? God makes that decision. But we have relinquished. We have backed off from the truth of His love, and we have become slaves to ourselves. We can do it. We know how. We're the greatest that ever lived. Proverbs 11:14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. Lack of guidance. Without godly guidance. Now, the book is here, folks. Again, it's the Bible. You want to read the book of your life? It's the Bible. You want to read a guidebook for life? Read it. It's the Bible. And God says you need to pay attention to my guidance above the guidance of man. Man is blind. And we end up man leading man and the blind leading the blind, and we all fall into the same pit. Well, God doesn't work like that anymore. Who do we think we are to tell God how He should work or that He's not working like that? Well, folks, I believe in a Savior that was born some 2,000 years ago. He was born to die for me and to die for you. It was a story. It is the story of our life and the truth. And God said, pay attention. At the point my Son comes, at that point, the beginning of the end of the age starts. That's the age of the church. When it begins, He says, it will end. It's called the end of the age. Jesus, oh, look at the wisdom of God. Go back to Genesis. You will read God. It actually says, in beginning God. in beginning God. The article or the is not even there. In beginning God. I like it. Wonder how many beginnings. How many beginnings have you received from God in your own personal life? Aren't you thankful? Huh? Do you know the Lord says the time is coming when that will cease? I fear for those days. Sure, I know where I'm going. I know where anybody who said yes to Jesus Christ is going. That's not my fear. My fear is in the ones who don't believe it. My fear for them. Well, without the godly guidance, I had to put this in. A nation becomes delusional. Now, the reason I use the term delusional mental and spiritual illness, I use it for a reason. Man has become delusional in the point of he sees himself as the answer. The human race. I'm the answer. Christians, they tell us that we are delusional simply because that we believe that a higher power, a deity, will actually speak to us. And that you Christians truly think that you're important to that deity, to God. You're delusional. I like being crazy with the rest of you. That's fine. I love being delusional for the Lord. But the delusion, the megalomania situation of our era is this. Mankind has become delusional in believing that we, the human race, has the answer. You see, we're not looking for the deity above. The human race says, I am the deity. They say there is no God. If there is no God, why do you have to say there is no God? They say it's all about us. It's all in our intellect. Well, I got news for us, folks. We're not that bright. Or we would not have allowed so much to take place within our own nation and within our own family. Listen to John 16:2. This is what the world, when it becomes delusional in, we know best. No more the name of Jesus. Don't you dare pray. You football players, you stand up and you act like getting all of the multi-millions of dollars a year doing absolutely nothing to help the society in which you live, and you dare to refuse to stand when the American flag or the Star Spangled Banner is even played. They refuse to stand. They will kneel on one knee. Then I say to you, you are kneeling to self. But I want you to know there is a God in heaven. This has nothing to do with color. It has to do with the heart of the human race. I will bring attention to myself. Aren't we told as Christians we're not allowed to do that? Are we told that the attention must be given to Christ, our Savior? And are we not also told that we will preach His word, not our own? Here's what's happened. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. I've never seen a war that didn't, where both sides didn't say God's on our side or all the sides. Have you ever noticed that? God says, I'm on your side, but I want you to know something. I'm on your side because you have accepted my side. His name is Jesus. Once you've seen Him, you've seen me. And I love you. And here's your cure. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The cure for any nation is the same. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh, yeah, preacher, I believe that. Do we? Why is Christian church attendance, any denomination of Christian, why are so many churches closing their doors every week? If everyone says, I believe this, oh, I was reading something the other day again about all of the reasons people don't go to church. They weren't reasons. Those were excuses. Self-indulgence. Well, there's a bunch of hypocrites there. I don't deny that. I don't deny that at all. Well, come on and be with the rest of us hypocrites. That's how life is. And let us help one another. But your preacher stand up and you say this. You said, thus saith the Lord, not to do this and not to do that. And yet do you yourselves do it? Yes. The majority of time, yes. Listen to me, folks. Please. You and I are human. Therefore, because of our human condition, then we fall into sin. If I commit a sin here, God says I'm guilty of all the sins that are ever committed. God did not send me to preach me or to preach you. He sent me to preach His Word. Now what if I back off of the parts that I fall short in? Then I commit ultimate sin against God. Why do you think preachers are always pointing back to self? Why do you think this pastor walks from side to side when he can? I'm preaching to me. Folks, you will never find the perfect church. You will never find the perfect preacher. You will never find the perfect Christian. Because he's in heaven praying for you and me. You know what else he's doing? He's telling his Father, Father, he's mine. And Father, you told me all that you give me, I can be with me throughout eternity. And the Lord shines us up and he says, Father, meet my son, meet my daughter. We are the offspring of Christ. Christian, we are the family of God left on earth. Now we might be a mess, but we're God's mess. And God has told us, don't put the faith in yourself, in your own ability. And as he would say, where were you when I created everything from nothing? Where were you, Job? If you think you're that great, where were you? Lord, I was on your mind when my son went to the cross. God says he knows your name. And listen, folks, there's nothing any better than understanding God knows my name and I am a part of the family of God. And frankly, it just don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, once again, we lift to you a hurting nation. Father, remind us that we are a nation of human beings attempting to focus on this nation as human beings, and that we can't do that, for we have no power within ourselves. We thank you, Father, for the time of heartaches and heartbreaks, for the ultimate time that we have witnessed you bring us to our knees. For it is during those times that it seems we cry to your name more often. Give us the wisdom not to wait. Give us the courage to stand for the name, the only name by which man can be saved, your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask now, Father, for a blessing upon our nation, forgiveness for this nation, and for the churches, Father, representing your name, refusing to stand strong in your truth. We ask your blessing now, Father, and we ask that your special touch will be upon all those who 15 years ago lost their loved ones. Remind us, Father, you're still in control. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.